time. It'll be a thing.
Yeah, it'll be a thing.
Fun show today. Tabes, good job as always. For Cabo, for Tabes. Coming up next, Ben Carlisle and the boys from Bleed Tech Blue chomping at the bit. I'm anxious to hear who's the next defensive coordinator at Tech going to be. I'm telling you, these guys are going to have the answer. Take a timeout. Throw it over to them. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock here on The Company, presented by Bud Light.
The Sports Company with Sean Fox has been presented by Bud Light. Join the team every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. for The Sports Company on 97.7. Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7. It's time for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 977 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Now, here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Yeah, that's right. Ben Carlisle here, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We're back. We're better than ever. It's been 2 weeks since we've been on the air. We've been missing a lot. But, Beck, one thing we didn't miss, I don't know if you tuned in, to the worldwide leader in sports on December 22nd, the Dogs 31, Hawaii 14, 8-5 overall. The regular season came to a disappointing end. But how about that bowl? First off, did you even stay up to watch the game?
I stayed up and
watched. Hold on.
The whole game, Ben.
Well, welcome back, first off.
Thank you. It's been I had to take some time off.
New year, new you.
New year, new me. I'm back, as you like to say, better than ever, BC. I did have some work things to tend to, but
hey,
you can say I got my priorities in line now, and I'm back on the radio.
Absolutely. Got to pay the bills. I completely understand. You know, as always, you can call us. You can text us, 888-993-7762, if you'd like to see what we're doing here live in the Sports Talk 97.7 studios. You can tune into the Sports Talk 977 Facebook page. We're coming at you live, better than ever. Beck, let's go ahead. As you can tell, I'm a little amped up tonight. Got a lot to talk about. You know, like I said, been 2 weeks since we've been on the air. Let's go ahead. Let's thank our sponsors because they're the only reason we're here.
You're right about that, BC. We got Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen of Ruston and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse Barbecue, and our good friends at O'Neill Gas.
Yeah, I actually saw today Brister Smokehouse doing a little delivery service these days. So
are they really?
Yeah.
They'll just deliver it right to you, huh?
It got to be over $100, but hey, me and Tapes and you, we can eat that much. Bring it in one night. Bring it in one night. So, you know, call us, text us, 888-993-7762, Fairway Carts Hotline. Of course, we'd also like to thank our title sponsor, First National Bank. Beck. National championship last night. College football season wrapped up. Clemson 44. Alabama. The Tide was going out last night. 44-16.
Ben, you know I'm a betting man. And I didn't bet on the game last night.
Ah,
and
surprise.
I'm really glad I didn't because I would have lost.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it.
I cannot imagine how many people lost money on that game last night. I was shocked. I think I tweeted at the beginning of the year that nobody would touch Alabama.
Well, they did.
But my gosh, I was as impressed with Clemson as I've been with any college football team in quite some time, Ben.
Well, let me ask you this. Is the Saban dynasty over?
No.
Is Tua overrated?
No.
Okay, Trevor Lawrence is good.
He is so good, Ben. And I mean, aside from his stats, which were just unbelievable.
Yeah, like
300 yards, three touchdowns.
Okay. Yeah, he was lighting it up.
Like, almost 350, I think.
Yeah, I think
three touchdowns.
347, yeah.
347. Aside from that, I just could not get over his composure, you know? I mean, this dude's 19 years old. I mean, like
Call
a couple
cool
years ago, his mom was driving him to the bowling alley, and now he's leading a team to beat Alabama in the national championship, Ben.
Well, believe it or not, Beck, it's 2018, and people don't generally hang out at the bowling alley, but...
Skateland, whatever. I'm just saying, his mom was driving him around. And now, at 19 years old, he looked unbelievably calm. And, yeah.
And those receivers he's got out there?
Yes. Also, some of them, we were talking, true freshmen.
They can play the game.
Did you hear at the beginning of the game when I don't know which one it was, one of the announcers was talking about how Trevor talked to Peyton Manning on the phone for a while? Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they had a phone call last week, and he said Trevor just spent, I don't remember how long, an hour or so, just asking Peyton questions about preparation, about what his game day was like, and all these things. And I'm just thinking, you know who could probably use a call from old Peyton Manning?
Oh, who? I knew you were about to go down this.
I'm just saying.
You're right.
I won't even say it.
All right.
I was impressed with Clemson.
One of the coolest things in the game was that Justin Ross, the stud receiver for Clemson, from Phenix City, Alabama.
Wow. And there's another defensive lineman, I feel like, that was from Alabama.
Yeah, Nick Saban kicking himself.
Yeah. But, hey, if you've seen him play, you know who Dabo is, and it's just hard not to root for a guy like Dabo. I respect Saban all day long. Say what you want. Probably wouldn't want to hang out with him on a Friday night.
Yeah, I'll hang out with Dabo.
The dude knows his football. Dabo, it's just, you know, I'm not.
He's a likable guy.
He's a likable guy, and I'm happy they got the W.
Absolutely. So that was a nice way to put a bow on the college football season. You know, 44-16, yeah, it's a blowout, but I can tell you one thing. It was an exciting game, and that's what we wanted to see. So coming up later in the show, good friend of the program, Dave West, the Daily Dragon, a UAB blog. Yeah, that's right. We got a UAB blogger coming on at 6:30. Tech UAB going to square off on the hardwood this week, Thursday night, inside the Thomas Assembly Center. Dave will get us prepared for the Blazers. Might ask him a few questions about UAB's 11-3 season. That ended with, you know, not only a Conference USA championship, but a bowl game win as well that was certainly impressive. Nick Lewis, the Forgotten Five, will join us at 7 p.m., talk some Conference USA football, kind of put a bow on the season. Some of his surprises, some of the disappointments, maybe a quick glimpse into 2019, what he sees, as far as programs that appear ready to take a step forward. But shifting gears a little bit, Beck, you know, we're obviously going to break down the Hawaii Bowl win that Louisiana Tech had 3 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, right before Christmas, 31-14. But since then, it's been rough on the coaching staff. You know, you lose three coaches. Eric Link, special teams coordinator, when he spent four or five months in Ruston, hits the road for Appalachian State.
Stepping stone, if I've ever seen one, Ben.
Yeah, but
we knew Baker was leaving. He had a heck of a year, according to you.
No, he did.
He did, Ben. But
how do you leave the Bulldogs for Appalachian State to be a special teams coach? I don't know.
Chasing that dream of beating Michigan again, I guess.
I guess so. But good for Eric Link and his family. He's off to Appalachian State. Tony Ball, Louisiana Tech running backs coach, is off to UTSA to be the wide receivers coach. He'll also be the passing game coordinator. You obviously have to think that he gets a nice raise by going to the Roadrunners, but he'll also get to see a great deal of losses as well.
Yeah, that was confusing. It's got to be the raise, Ben, just because they're, -2-14 or whatever their record was.
Terrible.
Man, just terrible. Do you know how many students go there?
About 30,000.
Can we get our stat guy on that?
Yeah, we'll get him on. About 30.
And they probably got a pretty stellar alumni.
Yeah, and they got a student fee, so they can pay the coaches.
The student fee, so they can pay the coaches. What did you say? Their head coach was making what?
Making like $1.3 million.
To win three games a year. That's not too bad. That's easy money, folks, if you're looking for a job.
Easy money.
Easy money.
Easy money like Lil Wayne during the halftime show last night. As you mentioned, Blake Baker, defensive coordinator for the 29th-ranked defense in the country. That's them Dogs off to Miami to join an old Bulldog friend, former defensive coordinator Manny Diaz, now the head coach at Miami. I'm happy for Blake. He did a great job here. You know, you remember back to 2015 when he first got the job. Probably wasn't quite ready to be a defensive coordinator, but you look at his 4 years as a defensive coordinator, he got better year after year before this year things really took off. And you know, you can always say, well, Jalen Ferguson helped him out a bunch. Amik Robertson.
Well, he helped out Jalen Ferguson.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, it goes both ways.
Yeah, it does.
You know, players make coaches. Coaches sometimes make players. But good for Blake Baker and his family off to Miami. We'll miss him. So three holes on the coaching staff. You know, 10-man staff that Skip Holtz employs. Got three spots to fill. Join us, BleedTechBlue.com.
You applying, Ben?
Back, I could be a defensive coordinator.
Could you?
Yeah.
If you need to work on that fantasy football defense, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Well, 0-4 against your boy.
Yeah, I can't help that the Chiefs' defense really let me down throughout the year. But, yeah, I was 0-4 against you. You didn't have
Should we tell the fans who – actually, a former Bulldog ended up getting last place in our league this year. He has to spend 24 consecutive hours in a 24-hour Walmart.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all remember old kicker boy, Matt Nelson.
Matt Nelson.
Yeah, it's 24 hours in a Walmart. So if you're in the West Monroe, Monroe area.
Give him a gift card.
He'll probably be on the phone. But, hey, give Matt Nelson a nice hello if you see him in the, I don't know, the produce part of Walmart.
Real fun fact about Matt Nelson, if you ever hung out with him in college, he always ended up in the front yard pacing back and forth on the phone. So
absolutely. Dude loved to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
Also, December 19th was the early signing period. Louisiana Tech inks 11 prospects out of 15 commitments. Everything went as planned. I said, you know, the last time I was on the air riding solo as Beck was grinding it out till 7:30 at night at his main job. Apparently, I don't pay him enough that I expected Tech to sign 11 or 12 guys. That's exactly what the Dogs did. Certainly have some work to do before the late signing period on February 6th. That's the first Wednesday in February.
And in your humble opinion, Ben, what position does Tech need to go after the most?
Oh, I think, you know, in the late period, I think, you know, Tech's filled all their needs except for on the offensive and defensive lines. You look on the offensive line, you lose four seniors. Defensive line, you lose, I believe it's six seniors. So we got some work to do up front. I think that's where the main focus will be. It won't be the sexiest late signing period of all time. You know, the skill guys get all the publicity. These guys will be the guys that are come in to win games. You saw with Clemson and Alabama last night. Games are won and lost in the trenches. Tech has to replenish the lines, you know, in the next couple of weeks before the late signing period. So I think that's where you'll see most of the focus.
Is that pretty typical in the early signing period? You go get the guys that you've the big play guys.
I really just think that's how it panned out this year. Okay. I think they would ideally you would like to have them all signed already, you know, offensive and defensive lines, but that's not how it's shaked out. You know, you have two defensive linemen and Kevy Rose, Deshaun Hall that are committed but decided they weren't going to sign. They wanted to take some time, look around, explore their options. So, you know, who knows what happens with those guys. And that's part of it. You're going to lose a couple of kids here and now. You talk about Blake Baker moving on to Miami. Who knows how that can affect a recruiting class as well. So it'll be interesting, but, you know, that's the focus as we get ready for the late signing period here in a little under a month. It's actually a month from Sunday. So shifting gears, Duncan Dogs, 11-5 overall. Rough road trip to Texas last week. Took two losses on the chin at North Texas and at Rice. Now 1-2 in Conference USA play. We'll talk some Duncan Dog basketball at 6:45. Really break down some of the issues with this team, some of the things that they need to improve on going forward. But, Beck, before we jump into La Tech versus Hawaii, can I ask you one thing?
Ask me anything.
Were you happy to see the Dogs win their final game?
Does it
have you a little more optimistic?
It was, and I'll be honest, Ben, I think I was a little pessimistic going into the game.
Oh, I got a bone to pick not only with you, but with the rest of Bully Nation when we come back after the break with some pessimism heading into this game. All right, Tabes, let's go ahead. Let's take our first time out. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk some pessimism with Beck Haynes and the rest of Bully Nation. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First.
First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Sports Talk 977 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you know has been injured in an accident or has been the victim of medical malpractice, do what thousands of others have done. Go Guerrero.
Reese's fans, take your Reese's love to an outrageously caramel level with the DQ Reese's Outrageous Blizzard Treat. Loaded with crazy delicious Reese's peanut butter cups, Reese's pieces, and peanut butter. But then it's topped off with game-changing caramel. That's outrageous. So stop in and taste all this insane caramel with the Reese's Outrageous Blizzard Treat. Only at your DQ at participating locations. This is fan food. Not fast food.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. And Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Ricky Meyer, Christina Rowley, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Teal and staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, producer John Tabor live in the Sports Talk 97.7 studios. In case you've been hiding out for the past couple of weeks, Louisiana Tech wraps up their 2018 season with a 31-14 win over Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the game on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. And Beck, just expand on your thought about how you had some pessimism coming into this game.
Sorry, Ben, I was pessimistic because we dropped the last two games of the season to some pretty terrible opponents.
Beck, I completely get it, but here we go.
No, let me tell you where it came from. I was just thinking it's going to be hard for Tech to have energy going into this game, ending the regular season the way they did. Was I wrong? Yes.
Yeah.
Am I glad I'm wrong? Yes. I'm thrilled, Ben. I'm very happy that Tech somehow mustered up some kind of energy, which we honestly didn't see that much in the middle of the season.
Well, Beck, let me just read a couple things to you, all right? You know, Bleed Tech Blue message board, you know, we're the experts. You know,
of course.
We like to think we are. Yeah. So here's some score predictions prior to the game. Hawaii 45-24. Hawaii 34-20. Hawaii 42-21. Oh, we got one guy, Dogs 31-17. Nearly nailed it. You know, you got 42-10. Dogs take this one on the chin. Well, guess what? For all you people out here that like to doubt Skip Holtz when it comes to bowl time, guess what?
That's true, Ben.
Five in a row.
Oh, you love that stat, don't you? You just love it.
Only two teams in the country have won five straight bowl games, Wisconsin, and how about them Dogs? So, you know, you say, oh, Ben, you love that stat. Well, if it's so easy, then why doesn't Alabama do it?
Because they're playing a little better competition.
Oh, we're playing competition compared to our talent level. Thank you very much.
I'm not dogging. I'm really glad we've won five in a row. I promise you that.
So am I.
I'm just not hanging my hat on that stat as
me neither.
Having a successful program.
It's
I could care less about the bowl game. I want a conference championship, Ben.
So do I. And I think that's the next. Like, if this program...
Of course it's the next step. That's every program's next step. Conference championship. Except for, like, three programs who are looking for that natty. Don't act like you're a genius.
No, you're right. But, hey, if you're not going to win a conference championship, what's the next best thing?
Bowl game.
You got to win a bowl game. It's important for the program to win bowl games.
I'm not saying it's
not. It creates some optimism as you head into the offseason.
100%.
All right, thank you. I'm glad we can agree.
I think we're disagreeing on the weights that the bowl game plays.
No, we're not.
I'm sick of it being a weight. I wish it was like, we won conference, let's go win this bowl game. Not like, let's win the bowl game so we go off on a terrible ending to a season and on a good note going into next year.
All right. We can agree.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, you said just a couple of minutes ago that you didn't know how Tech was going to get some energy heading into this game.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. There was a sense of urgency in this game, and it started with the head coach. Did you see old Skipper on the sideline? He was fired up.
Right.
He was getting in players. He was getting in his coaching staff, and the guys were ready to play. Now, you want to talk about the play on the field in the first half? I'm surprised I didn't fall asleep.
It was rough.
You know, 7-3 at the half, three turnovers. Lucky we're not down, you know, 21-3, 28-3 even.
Right.
But, you know, the team showed a sense of urgency in that second half. You know, outscores Hawaii 21-0. And remember, Tech got throttled in the third quarter last year, throughout the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it at times this year in the third quarter. So that was a nice adjustment. Now, here's my play that I really, you know, this isn't one of the biggest plays of the game. But listen to this. How about that fake punt that the Dogs tried on the opening drive of the third quarter? Have you ever seen a worse fake punt? Now, give Saban some slack. His fake field goal last night was terrible, but this punt was worse.
Yes, very bad. Ben, let me ask you this. I had a little bit of that. Not the only reason I'm watching. Now, don't put words in my mouth. Do you think there would have been as much hype, as much energy, as much interest in the Dogs game at 9:30 at night if Jalen Ferguson wasn't going for the all-time sack record?
Absolutely not.
Because that's what I was watching for.
No,
I mean, I wanted the dub, but
I was intently watching.
Yeah, I was intently watching for that.
No,
and he put on a show. Granted, I was like, Jalen.
He got the record.
Don't make an idiot out of yourself.
Kid was playing with an attitude.
He was playing with somebody ticked him off before the game. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, and Hawaii was cheap-shotting him
at every
opportunity, pushing him in the back after the play.
You know what he said? Fine, suspend me for my next game. I'm out.
Deuces.
Going to the league.
Yeah, 2.5 sacks. He needed 1.5 sack to tie Terrell Suggs. He obviously broke Terrell Suggs' record with all-time career sacks in FBS history. Good for Jalen. He's off to the NFL. I recently saw that he signed with an agent, so...
You were watching, I know you were, Ben, but there was a couple of plays in a row before he got his last one that he was so close.
Oh, like, and he wanted it.
He wanted it so bad. That dude was, he had to have been gassed.
Well, you know,
that.
He got called for the penalty on one of the cheapest face mask calls I think I've ever seen. I don't know why college football went away from the 5-yard penalty and they just give you a first down every time. Like,
for a face mask?
Yeah, like, come on. Like, sorry that the dude can't block and he accidentally touched
his
face.
Is there not a distinction between, like, incidental face masks? Because didn't they used to be?
Yeah, it used to be.
You get tackled by the face mask, you get a first down. But if you, like, punch him in the face mask on accident, that's 5 yards, man.
Yeah, come on, give me a break.
I can throw my hands out there.
In addition to Jalen Ferguson.
Willie Baker.
Oh, 4 sacks?
He said, Jalen who? Watch me.
Yeah, sack daddy and daddy's son.
What does he call him, sack pup?
Yeah, sack pup.
That's awesome.
Little doggy, 4 sacks. Willie Baker, number 30 defensive end in the 2016 class, introduced himself. You know, we've talked a little bit about him and the potential that he had, but he's really been in Ferguson's shadow throughout the year. And, you know, I think Ferguson's snap count in this game was, I think they were watching it. You know, obviously he's not playing carefully, but you don't want to get him hurt in his final game. Thankfully, he didn't sit out the game like the rest of college football would
have.
Which
I can really appreciate that.
Absolutely. But Willie Baker, 4 sacks, wraps up his sophomore season with 6 sacks in total, 10.5 tackles for loss. If I must say so for myself, I didn't think he was a guy that could be a double-digit sack type player. But I'm thinking that he's going to have a monster next 2 years for the Bulldogs at defensive end and really – look to keep, you know, a solid pass rush. You know, this year, a lot of the pass rush was mainly Ferguson. Well, who knows? Maybe the next 2 years, Baker's ready to take on that role and be the leading pass rusher for the Dogs. I would certainly love to see it.
Yeah, you could tell. It definitely helps the defense out a little bit when you got somebody that is to be feared on the other side of the ball.
Ben. Absolutely. Beck, you want to talk about another bright spot
Let's
in this game?
Let's talk about it.
Jamar Smith, 295 yards. 2 touchdowns, Third and 14, backed up at your own 6. He goes for 24, which, hear me out, I'm not jumping on the J-Mar bandwagon.
No, you definitely are, because before the show, you told me, when I said I was so right about J-Mar, you said, oh, he's going to make you look like an idiot next year. And I was like, wow. I mean, the season's been over for 2 weeks, and you're already back on the 2019 J-Mar train. That's fine. Again, I hope you're right. Ben, if there's anything that's true about J-Mar, is that he's always done just enough or one really big play.
Now you're right.
Right when you're about to jump ship.
He
did. A couple of times you can give credit to the wide receivers because they've bailed him out. You like to say they have the most drops in the country or whatever.
Second
most drops in the country. Whatever. That's fine. But they've also had some of the most unbelievable catches in the country. And they bailed him out. I mean, there were so many times where it was like, man, if this drive doesn't go well, I think they're going to make a switch. And then J-Mar does something amazing. That's great. He had a great play. That was the one he ran for?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. Would have loved to see that a little more. But you know what? We'll take it. We'll take the W.
And we'll see you.
I'll pat him on the back for the bowl game, Ben, if it'll make you happy.
Well, and, you know, I also thought a big key in this game was Jaquese Dancy. You know, we haven't seen him really healthy since the Mississippi State game. Felt like we really missed his impact against Southern Miss and Western Kentucky, in particular the two games that Tech lost to end the regular season. He was back healthy. Like you said, you talked about the receivers bailing out J-Mar. He takes a screen pass 58 yards to the house. I actually thought that Tech did a really nice job for the first time all season in the screen game, getting those running backs into some open space. Cam McKnight had a nice 39-yard touchdown run to seal it at the end. You talk about Teddy Veal, his final collegiate game.
Yeah, it was good to see him have a good game.
7 catches, 103 yards, played really well. I thought Adrian Hardy had another good game, ended his season with over 1,100 yards, 75 catches, 6 touchdowns. Looks poised for a really big junior season. And then the last guy that we want to talk about, your boy.
My boy.
Amik.
Man.
Stud.
I just saw a little bit of life come back into him, and I think we talked about it numerous times on other shows about it's good that you're not really necessarily hearing his name. You don't throw him the ball, he didn't have a chance to make big plays. They tried to throw the ball at him in Hawaii, and it just didn't work. And that's what we saw that freshman year. Like, we're seeing that. Like,
yeah, and he
there's a reason they don't throw it towards him.
And I think he had 5 interceptions as a freshman, as ends his sophomore season with 4. You know, only
I can think of 3 instances where he dropped some that hit him right in the hand, too. So.
Yeah, and you look at the 4 interceptions, I think that ranked 4th in the country. So, yeah. Like, you know, he's up there. Obviously, next year, like you said, he drops 3. You bring those down, you might lead the country in interceptions. You might be an All-American, but
he ain't a wide receiver.
He ain't a wide receiver, but he's a playmaker with the ball in his hand. He likes to get the ball and run a little bit. You know, he allowed us 1 touchdown in 13 games. Legarius Sneed also had a really solid sophomore or junior season as well, allowing only 1 touchdown and 3 interceptions. So, you know, all in all, a really nice ending to the regular season. Good on the Dogs for finishing out in grand fashion out in Hawaii. Not only do you get a beautiful vacation, you also get a beautiful win. You get me back on the J-Mar train. You head into the offseason with a tremendous amount of optimism. Are there things that need to be corrected? Without a doubt, there has to be some things figured out on the offensive side of the football. We're going to touch on a lot of those things in the coming weeks. I think we have 5 more shows after today. Who knows if Beck will be back? Probably depends on work, if I were guessing. But we'll really take a look into 2019, and we'll kind of break it down position by position as we go forward. But we're going to go ahead and take our next time out. When we come back from the break, Dave West, the Daily Dragon, joins us, talks some Tech UAB hoops on the hardwood Thursday night. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number 1 Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426 or find them on Facebook.
At First National Bank, part of being the Uncommon Bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Conference USA basketball play heating up. Dunkin' Dogs 11-5 overall, 1-2 in Conference USA play, getting set to host UAB and Middle Tennessee this weekend inside the Thomas Assembly Center. And to preview the matchup with the Blazers, our good friend Dave West with the Daily Dragon. Dave, how are we doing tonight?
Man, I couldn't be better. One of my favorite things to do is talk to you guys in Ruston.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us. Before we jump into some basketball play, obviously a heck of a season for the Blazers on the football field, finishing up 11-3 overall, Conference USA champion, Boca Raton Bowl champion. I don't think enough can be said about the job that Bill Clark has been doing with his program in Birmingham.
It's really surreal. I think I'm just now getting to the point where it's all soaked in, and I'm appreciating all the work that they put in for the past 3 years to get to where we are now. We had only been to two bowl games before this year, and then we go into this bowl game and we get, you know, a primetime spot on a Tuesday at 7 o'clock and score on the first play. It was like it was made for a movie, you know?
Now let me ask you this. You know, obviously 11-3, one heck of a season, and a lot has been made, you know, not only at UAB or Louisiana Tech, but really around the country when it comes to fan support. What are fans really, you know, coming towards this program and starting to see larger attendance numbers?
They are, because we have such a large sample size to choose from. We have so many people in this metro area. But what I will say is, it's not like La Tech fans, where there's generations of La Tech fans. You know, your brother went, your uncle, your dad, your grandfather, and all that. It's a little bit different. We're kind of creating our fan base, to say it that way. We have some, of course, some old alumni, and we have probably like a little core fan base that's been around forever. But what we're doing now is we're getting out to the random person in Birmingham who may never really gave UAB a chance before, and now it's becoming one of the hottest things in town to follow, because it's fun. Winning solves everything, and you know that.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you. And one more question about football before we jump over to hoops, but you look ahead to 2019. I think that I've seen you guys have 30 plus something seniors that are due to exit the program. I know Tyler Johnston really took control of this football team at quarterback late in the season. What does 2019 look like from the UAB Blazers perspective?
I think people will be surprised, and I can see from an outside perspective where you may not be bought in totally from, you know, other fan bases saying, you know, they built up this JUCO roster and they were just full of, you know, older guys, and we got some recruiting advantages, which we certainly did. But you'll be surprised. Bill Clark and his staff are really good at building depth. There's some younger guys that are going to step up immediately, especially in the guys that are local, guys from like Ramsey High School here in town, Homewood. I mean, we never got these guys before. These three-star, you know, local, you know, within a 50-mile radius, never came to UAB. We were always trying to find, you know, diamonds in the rough in JUCO and other places, you know, years before Clark. But now he's built up kind of a local product part of his roster, and I think we're going to be really good. I really don't see us taking a major step back, possibly even a step forward. But yeah, losing that many old upperclassmen, it's gonna be a test. But you know, I think they're up for it. Clark, if anybody can do it, Bo Clark can do it.
And jumping over to the hoop side of things, 10-5 overall for the Blazers, 2-0 in conference USA play. Started the conference season off on a great note with wins over Florida Atlantic and Florida International. Talk a little bit about the non-conference portion of you guys' schedule. I know you played some tough out-of-conference opponents. When you talk about Florida State going on the road to Memphis, I know you guys had a home game where you nearly knocked off a top-10 Auburn team. How's the season going over there? Meeting expectations, exceeding expectations? You know, how's the roster looking from that standpoint?
Well, I'll put it this way. How you feel about Tech being 11-5 is how I feel about UAB being 10-5. Yeah, there's some. You guys have a lot better wins than we do, but you just don't feel like you're getting the full product. You don't feel like you're getting what you should expect from our program. Too many close losses, a lot of blowout wins, or actually not even blowout wins, a lot of just so-so wins against really bad competition. And early in November, when we went to that tournament at Disney World, it was just horrible. Play a team, Charleston, who, yes, they're a top 100 team, but, I mean, they beat us by 23 points. I mean, UAB's got no business to losing on a neutral court to a program like Charleston that badly. And then the biggest, I would say, black mark for us, the non-conference, was losing to Troy a couple weeks ago in Birmingham at Bartow. We had never lost to Troy. And honestly, games have never even been close, even when they were good. And it's just got the fan base with a kind of a sour taste in their mouth. But with that being said, in the past week, being a pretty darn good FIU team, which you guys will get eventually, you'll be pleasantly surprised at how that program's turned around. And beating a really injured Florida Atlantic team, I mean, they're looking good. They're really, really resting their laurels on defense. It's ugly basketball, but they're winning right now.
And, you know, when UAB and Louisiana Tech come to clash on the hardwood, probably the most heated rivalry in Conference USA, I think it's fair to say, a lot of bad blood between the two programs, which I think you and I could agree. It's certainly intriguing from both fan bases' perspective. Zach Bryant in his sophomore season, really leading this UAB club at guard. Obviously, we can watch for him. How has he been playing throughout the year? And who are a couple more names that we can look out for this year?
Bryant's having a good season. I wouldn't say he's having a season he did last year where he really kind of broke out with an older team and kind of just showed out, flashy dunks, things like that. This year, teams are really keying on him. And he's not really a great point guard. I mean, he'll suffice, but he's really better off the ball. And that's the problem UAB has right now. We don't really have a distributor like we did with Nick Norton. But he still played well. He's still just one of the most dynamic players in the conference. His flashy dunks and his finishes at the rim are really great. But I think there's a couple guys that you may not be familiar with. Like we have a senior that came from Milwaukee who got a waiver, a guard named Jeremiah Bell. And I think you're going to be really impressed with him. He's one of the best pure scorers we've had since Robert Brown.
And, you know, Bell certainly having a nice season, you know, averaging a little over 9 points per game in 26 minutes. And, you know, another player that has really seemed to catch my eye over the years is Jalen Perry. Seems to be playing the best basketball of his career as a senior.
Oh, without a doubt. He's just streaky. That's not a really good example, but he reminds me kind of how DeRuji is for you guys, where he'll, you know, hit four threes in the game and then he'll go 0-for-6. He's just his perimeter shooting can be really, really good. It was good against Auburn. It's been good for the past couple weeks, pretty much. But he's pretty streaky. You never know what you're going to get out of him. And we're going to the TAC, and we've never won there. We're 0-3. We always play terrible down there. So I'd be really surprised to see. You know, he's a senior. He may be the one who steps up. I really would love to see that.
Yeah, and you know, this game, you talk about the Thomas Assembly Center. It's been so kind to Louisiana Tech over the years. And, you know, I don't think that the home court advantage will play as big of a role as it has in years past, but I'm certainly looking forward to this one. You know, one more question before we let you get out of here. Conference USA has shifted to the new scheduling system where they, you know, do the little pod thing at the end of the year. Kind of your thoughts on that. You know, what are the chances in your mind of Conference USA breaking through and potentially getting a second team into the big dance?
You know, I thought it could have happened. Actually, I was one of the people out there saying two was probably the best chance we were going to have since realignment, getting two in, rather, when Western coming into the season. But Western just hasn't quite played consistently enough. I think possibly just because they do have some good non-conference wins, if they go through conference play and only lose a couple games, and they get the maybe like an auto bid, not an auto bid, but an at-large bid, and a team like North Texas or Marshall, you know, wins the conference tournament, I can see two getting in, but I think the chances of that happening now are much less than they were when the season was starting. So I think we're kind of back where we are in years past, just getting one team in. But I will see what happens with the pod. I think it's a pretty cool idea. And really, why not? I mean, we're already at a disadvantage being at the level we're at. We might as well try something new. I'm really curious at what it's going to do to the teams who don't make it in the pods. It feels like you're really just leaving them behind to a certain degree. Attendance-wise for their games, it's going to be teams that are maybe below 500 having to play a couple times. So it's going to be interesting to see, for sure.
Yeah, I think it'll certainly bring some intrigue, especially, you know, if you're one of those top four teams coming down the stretch. Well, good stuff tonight, Dave. How can our listeners follow you online?
I mean, if you're up for hearing me talk bad about La Tech, I'm kidding. I love you guys. I may dig at y'all online because I respect you guys. Y'all are
absolutely
super fun fan base. Yeah, we're on Twitter. We're at @the_DailyDragon. It's all fun stuff. I don't get too ugly on there. So I'd love for some of y'all to come on there and talk some fun trash with us because, you know, what else are we going to do?
Absolutely. Well, good stuff tonight, and we're looking forward to a fun matchup inside the Thomas Assembly Center on Thursday night.
Good stuff, guys. Y'all take care.
Dave West, Daily Dragon. Beck, do you remember back, I don't know, 2 years ago, maybe three, Jacoby Boykins just gets into one heck of a brawl at UAB. The Dogs end up finishing the game with four players.
That's right. Oh. I forgot that was UAB.
Yeah, that was awesome. It, you know,
I miss Boykins, man.
And I know a lot of times, you know, the whole thing, you get tired of UAB when you're in Conference USA. You know, obviously you don't like losing to UAB.
Here's the deal, Ben. I'd rather play UAB all day long than UTEP.
Well, yeah. Well, I like that rivalry aspect.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's intriguing to see the two teams really go after it. You know, some trash talking on Twitter. And, you know, I think a lot of the trash talking on Twitter is like, you know, a lot of the teams in the conference, I'm not going to say they bow down to UAB, but I think it's more or less Tech doesn't put up with the crap.
Right.
You know, they're not going to live for UAB's crap, and they're going to let them know about it. And I certainly like it. Like Dave said, it's fun to jaw back and forth, especially on Twitter. What better place to put someone in their place on Twitter?
Just on the national stage.
Oh, there ain't nothing
better. Hide behind that computer screen like you like to do, Ben. It's
just
good
absolutely.
Stuff.
Nothing like hiding behind a keyboard. But anyways, we're going to go ahead. We're going to take a quick timeout. We come back after the break. We're going to talk a little more Dunkin' Dog basketball, recap the two losses on the road, what to look for in the coming weeks, and maybe touch on a little bit of Lady Texter basketball as well. You're listening to Bleak Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. And Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Ricky Meyer, Christina Rowley, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Teal and staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor live in the Sports Talk 97.7 studios. Let's go ahead, jump to the Fairway Cards hotline, where we're joined by Bama Jim. How you doing tonight, Bama Jim?
I'm doing good, man. It's a better night than it was last night, brother.
I hear you on that. Roll Tide weren't rolling too much last night, Jim.
No, they wasn't. I think they was just crawling. But anyway, I can remember when old Bartow was there at UAB, and UNC Charlotte had old Cornbread Maxwell. And I forget that coach's name. You could probably tell me.
Nah, I ain't got nothing for you, Jim.
But, man, that was some good games. And that's where they got their cockiness from.
Yeah, they definitely have some cockiness. Pretty
pretty
good program, though, historically.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I don't like them, but I got to say, well, they're pretty good.
I'm right there with you, Jim. Right there with you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, guys, it's good to talk to you. Bleed Tech Blue, brother.
Absolutely. Take it easy, Jim.
I'll do it, brother. Bye.
Bama Jim delivering the goods, giving us a history lesson on the Blazers. Beck, you talk about this Louisiana Tech team. You know, last time we were on the air, Duncan Dogs were 9-3 overall. You look at us now, 11-5, you know, open conference USA play with a 71-56 win over Southern Miss. That's a Southern Miss program that is improved under Doc Sadler, but from what I saw, what he puts on the court, they're not that good. Anthony DeRuggi, 23.7 rebounds in the win. And then, you know, we're sitting 11-3, and you're thinking, if Tech can go on the road, pick up a win over, I thought, an overrated North Texas team, had played a cream puff schedule, you know, just roasting marshmallows for wins throughout the non-conference slate, and go on the road and beat a bad Rice team as well. I thought, you know, the tack would be bumping come this week. But you go on the road at North Texas, you fall behind 30-11 early on.
It's not good.
Not playing with a bunch of energy defensively. Shots not going down on the offensive end of the floor. Tech was able to come all the way back, tie the game at 59 with, I believe, 48 seconds remaining before North Texas ultimately puts the Dogs away. Winning 63-59. Tech shoots 38% from the field in this one, which is not good.
Not good.
20% from three. I've seen you shoot the three, and you're a little better than 20%. Not with my hand in your face, but you know what I'm saying. 52% at the free throw line. You shoot 52% at the free throw line, I can't imagine you winning too many games.
No, Ben, we did a free throw-a-thon in high school the one year I played basketball. I shot 54% out of 100.
Bro, that's terrible.
It's pretty bad.
That's terrible.
I didn't raise very much money for the program.
But, hey, the program probably got rid of you pretty quick. That Calvary Baptist, huh?
No, it was not. It was
Jack Booty.
No, it was at the old Chugiak in Alaska.
Oh, Chugiak, the
Mustangs.
Dislocated
my knee like 45 seconds into my first game, and that was it for my basketball career, Ben.
Well, you recently took a trip to Hawaii. A little dark up there these days.
I did not take a trip to Hawaii. I took a trip to Alaska.
Correct.
Yeah, I took a little two-day, two-and-a-half-day trip. Got there Thursday morning, came back Saturday night. Quick trip. BC, I was doing some scouting for the Bulldogs. There ain't much up there, so
yeah, they call it the hometown. They call it the hometown. Daquan Bracey, 22 points for the Dogs in the loss to North Texas. Tech then hit the road to Houston immediately following that game. You know, I thought Tech played all right in this one. Rice came out with a lot of energy. You talk about playing in Tudor Fieldhouse. You're essentially playing in a high school gym. If you've ever been to Byrd High School, that's essentially what you were playing in. But Rice closes the game on a 17-4 run to pick up the 78-66 win. Tech shot 42% from the field, 23% from three, 61% from the free throw line. And, you know, you look at the two shooting lines in both of these road games, I think it pretty much sums up the trip. When you don't shoot over 23% in either game from three, you can't eclipse 61% at the free throw line. You know, you only shoot 42% at Rice. You shoot 38% against North Texas. Ultimately, that leads to an 0-2 road trip. And, you know, you look at this Tech team, obviously Derek Jean, Xavier and Christian are still out with injuries. Who knows when they're going to be able to return. So you're down to a seven-man rotation, maybe eight when Stacey Thomas, the freshman forward, is getting a few minutes, but he's not getting a ton more than 8 or 10 minutes a night, which, you know, I think that's to be expected for a freshman. You know, Coach Conkle probably doesn't trust him a ton yet, which is understandable. So you're looking at three big men when you look at Daruji, Powell, and Muhammad. Muhammad's playing really well off the bench. And then you look at your guard rotation, you're rotating four guards for three spots. So you got seven guys, and you really look at the things that have caused some of the struggles. Well, on the road trip, you know, we're three games into conference play. Archibald's shooting only 20%, 4.7 points per game. Powell, a postman who has, you know, nearly every shot right there at the rim, shooting only 36% and 4 points per game. You know, those are two of your better players, especially when you talk about Archibald at a guard spot. He's shot the ball so well all season, whether he's played the point or whether he's played the two-guard spot next to Bracey. So, you know, those two guys have to get things going, because when you have a seven-man rotation, and Tapes and I were talking about this before the show, everyone's forced to play. You can't just say, well, you know, you're struggling, I'll take you out. They have to come and play some big minutes, because – you know, you can't send five guys out there for 40 minutes.
Right.
And I think that's ultimately is what has caught up to this team and what might ultimately catch up to this team in the long run. You know, with only seven guys, if you don't get Bracey or Jean and Christian back, I just think that, you know, heavy legs are really going to catch up to Tech towards the middle of the year, especially late in the year as we get towards conference tournament time. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do. You know, coming back home this weekend, you host UAB, you host Middle Tennessee State. Like we talked with Dave West, UAB 10-5 overall, 2-0 in league play, coming off wins over Dusty May, former Louisiana Tech assistant. He's now the head coach at Florida Atlantic. Former Bulldog Xavion Stapleton also playing for Florida Atlantic. Florida International, like Dave said, pretty solid team. UAB's led by sophomore point guard Zach Bryant, 13 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists per game. Really explosive athlete. You know, Dave said he's playing a little bit out of position at point guard. I know Nick Norton, the little point guard who was just so consistent, really seemed like a Tech killer over the years, especially from three-point range, transferred as a grad transfer to Drake. So they're really missing his production this year. Jalen Perry, a 6'5 guard, maybe small forward, very experienced, 12 points, 4 rebounds per game, shooting 40% from three. So you look at this UAB team coming into the Thomas Assembly Center. It's going to be an exciting game. It always is when these two teams lock up. There's going to be some bad blood. I'm sure we'll see some pushing and shoving, but that's the fun part about it. And, Beck, I'm sure I've told you this. I'm sure we talked about it on the show last year, but I actually like watching basketball more than I like watching football. And I think it's just because you're so close to the action. You can literally hear what the players are saying to one another. And
it's a little more fast-paced, too, you know? There's a lot of downtime in football when you really think about it.
Oh, yeah. You know, those three-minute timeouts for TV, you know, they like to get every ad, got Les Miles coming across, you know, Harley Davidson, you know, free pub, free...
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Everybody advertising.
Yeah, and so, like you said, it's a little more fast-paced. You look at the back end of this week, Middle Tennessee. Beck, Middle Tennessee's been pretty salty over the years.
Pretty salty, Ben.
Yeah, 3-12 overall this year. 0-2 in league play. Oof. Kermit Davis off to Ole Miss after last year. Guess what? They've lost 11 in a row. Oof. They're looking for a dub. A lot of new faces for the Blue Raiders. Antonio Green, transfer from Texas Rio Grande Valley. I believe that's how you say that school that he transferred in from. 19 points per game. So Tech will have to do a good job at keeping the 6'2" junior guard under control. And just to briefly touch on the Lady Texters before we get to a timeout, Brooke Storr and her squad have lost 4 out of their last 5, really struggling, especially on the offensive end of the floor. Now 8-7 overall, 0-2 in Conference USA play. You have to feel for Brooke, but at the same time, Beck, and I know you know Brooke personally, or I like to think that you do.
Nope.
Oh, you don't?
Brooke Storr?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I thought she was a good friend of yours.
No.
Oh.
Never met her a day in my life.
Really? Well, yep. You've talked to her on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, we're you know, when we interview, we're friends.
Yeah, well, you have to think that, you know, she's going to figure some things out. She can obviously coach, but sometimes I wonder if the talent level's not there.
You're saying it's the recruiting issue.
Possibly. And I'm not saying she's a bad recruiter. I'm just saying that...
I would imagine that recruiting collegiate women's basketball is tough because it's not such a... I mean, women's basketball is a popular sport, but like there's such a discrepancy between the top programs. So if you really do stand out...
You're going up top.
You're going up top.
Well, yeah. You know, you talk about UConn or Baylor or, you know, South Carolina's got a good program. I know Notre Dame does as well. You know, those upper-tier schools, like you say, they get who they want, you know, for the most part. And then, you know, you look at, you know, Tech in a Conference USA, and granted, we can't sell as the Lady Texters as, you know, one of the best programs of all time anymore.
No, we can talk about our rich history and say that we're rebuilding to get to there.
But it ain't coming back.
It ain't coming back right now.
No, long way to go to get
Speaking of Kim Mulkey, got her a little dub the other day.
She did. Beat
a big dub.
Beat the UConn Lady Huskies.
75-game win streak.
Yeah. Gino Auriemma, we'll see ya.
Whew. I mean, good for her.
Yeah. She's – hey.
I'm going to get fired up in women's basketball. You watch that Baylor team.
Yeah. You watch them. Is Brittany Griner still play for them?
No.
Oh. And, oh.
Man. That's
– man.
Man. You know, that's all we're going to say about that.
Yeah. We missed.
She could beat you. I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah, I'd dunk on her though. So. But you look at this Lady Texters team. Kiara Anthony continues to lead the team over 24 points per game, shooting 48% from the field, having one of the best single seasons in Lady Texters history. Just doesn't have a whole lot of help around her. Taylor Staley's averaging nearly 11 points per game. You know, her 3-point percentage is down this year, shooting 33% from three. Lady Texters shooting 29% from three as a team. So hopefully Brooke and the Lady Texters can get some things figured out. I know they go on the road this week at UAB and at Middle Tennessee, so we'll certainly be keeping an eye on them. But we're going to go ahead and take our next timeout. When we come back from the break, we'll shift gears a little bit. Nick Lewis from the Forgotten Five will join us. We'll wrap up the Conference USA football season and take a brief look ahead to 2019. You're looking to listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
Reese's fans, take your Reese's love to an outrageously caramel level with the DQ Reese's Outrageous Blizzard Treat. Loaded with crazy delicious Reese's peanut butter cups, Reese's pieces, and peanut butter. But then it's topped off with game-changing caramel. That's outrageous. So stop in and taste all this insane caramel with the Reese's Outrageous Blizzard Treat. Only at your DQ at participating locations. This is fan food, not fast food.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Game day can be every day with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. Whether you want to hit the links in the number one golf cart in the world, spend family time in your Easy Go multi-passenger cart, or work around the home or farm with a new Easy Go utility cart, Fairway Carts can make it happen. So make your weekend last all week long with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART. Or visit online at fairwaycarts.net.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor live at the Sports Talk 97.7 studios. Conference USA 2018 football season has wrapped up. Conference goes 4-2 overall in bowl play. And to put a bow on the season, Nick Lewis of the Forgotten Five joins us on the Fairway Carts hotline. How you doing tonight, Nick?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. And, you know, I just touched on it briefly. You talk about Conference USA going 4-2 overall. You know, it probably doesn't mean a whole lot to say that you won the Bowl Challenge Cup. But if it does mean anything, how was Conference USA showing during the bowl season? And what does it mean for the conference going forward after really a pretty rough season in 2018?
It was pretty interesting. You know, it was kind of a mix. I was very proud of a team like Marshall for literally playing a road game in USF's home stadium and just mopping the ground with them, being able to maintain the momentum they had all season. UAB, same for them, went and played Northern Illinois and just was outclassed them from wire to wire. But then you have the flip side, say North Texas going and just completely forgetting to show up against the team in Utah State. North Texas, their coach gets talked about to have their coach pulled by K-State. It doesn't happen. They're great. They're fine. And then they go play a team that lost their coach, and they can't beat them, can't even come close. Now, maybe that says more about Utah State than it does about North Texas, but it was kind of nice that that was the only real massive black eye, I guess you could say, on the bowl season. Bulldogs had a good showing against the Hawaii team that was supposed to be a pretty high-flying offense. I guess not so much against Skip Holtz. but it's definitely nice to sort of, whether it's as a team or as a conference, kind of end the season with a nice taste in your mouth, so to speak. And whether you agree with the Bowl Challenge Cup as a thing or just words, it's another feather in your cap. It's another thing to kind of add to the mantle and you know, no one's ever going to complain about having too many shiny things on the mantle, so that's for sure.
Absolutely, and, you know, just to kind of follow up on that a little bit, two-part question for you. For one, from your point of view, are there too many bowl games? And for two, we've heard a lot of discussion, especially in our area, when you talk about, you know, a Louisiana Tech or, you know, UCF is the shiny toy in the G5 right now. Boise State has a good program year in and year out. San Diego State, like you mentioned, Utah State as well. Do you think that the G5 should ever entertain the idea of going to their own, you know, whether it be a 16-team playoff or a 32-team playoff, and really kind of separate themselves even more from the Power Five?
Right. So the first part of that is what was the first part of that again?
Are there too many bowl games?
Right. So I firmly planted my belief that there were not last season. Whenever I had the opportunity, I followed them. They're one of my kind of darling teams, the New Mexico State Aggies. To watch that game and to see those players pull off that victory in overtime, a bowl victory that they don't even play in if there aren't as many bowl games as there are, and to get them to see them celebrate like it was the Super Bowl, because for them it was their Super Bowl, that tells me that there definitely are not. Now, that being said, I can understand where those who think there are too many bowl games, those people who sat around watching that god-awful Cheez-It Bowl for, I don't know, what was it, like 6 hours long? can definitely say that there's probably a lot of work that can be done in the matchups they make and those sorts of things. But, you know, I think that these bowl games mean different things to different people. And if the players don't think that there are too many bowl games, if the coaches don't think there are too many bowl games, then it's kind of their decision. So I don't think so. But as for the Group of Five playoff, I don't think so. As one guy pointed out, I'm much more interested in watching, even if it's not in the college football playoff itself, I'm much more interested in watching USCF compete against Auburn and LSU and teams like that, and demonstrate how small the gap really is, than for us to sort of give up the ghost and increase any gap that really only exists because of words. You know, some guy someday decided that Power Five and Group of Five were things, and everything's kind of gone from there. So I'm definitely for, and I'm kind of writing about this later on, I'll go up later this week, about a partial playoff expansion to include the Group of Five more, but I don't see any way where UCF playing Boise for a sub-championship or whatever the heck you want to call it could really boost much. Now, one thing I have talked about in the past is the possibility of you do create a Group of Five playoff, sort of like how we have the NCAA and the NIT. You know, folks forget back in the day that the NIT was the big deal until people started putting money into March Madness instead, kind of like VHS and Beta. But I apologize for those listeners who don't know what VHS and Beta are. But moving on, one thing I talked about was that the G5 does make their own playoff, but they keep their New Year's 6 slot, and whether it's their New Year's 6 slot or it is a slot in their playoff, their slots are up for sale to Group of Five or to Power Five programs. So it's okay if you have a Group of Five playoff that is separate in concept but not completely delineated from the Power Five. There's got to be some link between the two of them, so that's a possibility. But I realistically think that just expanding the existing playoff is probably the right move.
It's certainly some interesting stuff. And, you know, from my point of view, I think that, you know, from a bowl game perspective, I think the important thing to do would be create more geographical matchups that are, you know, more fan-friendly as far as traveling distances. You know, don't have a Boston College and Boise State meet up in Dallas, you know, where it's very difficult. You know, create matchups.
Or don't have Old Dominion and Eastern Michigan meet up in the Bahamas.
Exactly. You know, create more fan intrigue by having games that are easier to get to for fans. And I know it always won't be the case, but, you know, you talk about UCF and LSU. Well, yeah, they played out in Arizona. Well, put that game somewhere in the middle from Florida and Louisiana, and then you'll have a capacity crowd that'll have even more intrigue. I think that would be a better direction to go from a bowl game perspective that would certainly increase attendance figures, which in turn puts more money in everyone else's pockets. So, you know,
right, or even this year, whenever you could have had Florida and UCF in the Peach Bowl.
Exactly.
You can't tell me that the game wouldn't have sold out. Or even, as I said last year, that the Arizona Bowl with New Mexico State and Utah State. One of the reasons New Mexico State got to go to that bowl game is because they were by far the closest team. You know, it makes a lot more sense than sending, like, FAU out there or something like that. But that bowl game had by far the highest attendance it's ever had with New Mexico State in attendance. So, you know, you can say there's too many bowl games and use attendance as a reason, but we have multiple examples of if you get a matchup that is reasonably regional, people will go.
Absolutely. So shifting gears a little bit to Conference USA in particular, you know, obviously UAB wins the league 11-3 overall, wins the Conference USA championship, wins the Boca Raton Bowl. Were they your biggest surprise of 2018, or if not, who was?
No, they weren't. I'm a tiny bit surprised at 11 wins in the conference championship. I'm not surprised at the division title or playing there. They faded a little down the stretch, mostly because A.J. Erdley had a hard time keeping his shoulder healthy, and they had to sort of start breaking in Tyler Johnson on the fly. But I would have to say that my surprise for the season was probably Western Kentucky. I almost kind of described to folks that Mike Sanford was sort of the 2018 version of Tyson Summers. He seemed like a great hire, and then he came in the door and just was clearly in over his head. Blew a 3-touchdown lead to Maine, and that was just kind of the first salvo of a season that went sideways really quickly. You know, they played close against Louisville. Turns out that game meant nothing. Played close against Marshall, all right. But then all of a sudden they get blown out by Charlotte, and they have that weird loss to Old Dominion, and things just kind of kept unraveling. So by the time they, I don't know how, beat Louisiana Tech to end the season, you're like, okay, that's nice, but it's not often that you get to end your season with a big win like that, and nobody cares because you've already lost the season many weeks ago. So I'm mostly surprised, I guess, both by kind of how quickly things unraveled for Mike Sanford at Western Kentucky, and honestly, what a kind of uninspired hire they made as a follow-up. So I think that in part because of the fact that Tyson Helton's not really a very different coach, it may be a little while before Western Kentucky comes back up. But I'm cool with that. Teams like the Bulldogs need someone to beat up on, so that's all right.
Yeah, hopefully we can get some revenge if we get them back on the schedule in the near future. On the opposite side, what was your biggest disappointment in Conference USA in 2018?
My biggest disappointment. I don't want to be obvious. I think everyone was disappointed in Florida Atlantic, but that there's a possibility that, you know, I knew coming into the season that they probably wouldn't be quite as good as the year before, just because they weren't quite as deep talent wise. But I think that it was kind of a triple whammy. They weren't quite as deep talent wise, and their top end talent wasn't quite as good. And I think that offense was successful because of Kendall Briles a little more than we may have believed initially. But I'll take a side turn and say that the other surprise for me was that Brad Lambert got fired. Because I thought it was pretty
good. Yeah, I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, I thought that after last season, he had kind of proven that his 4-8 season was heavily fueled by lucking into having Larry Ogunjobi to build a defense around. And I was really shocked that they didn't fire him after that 1-11 season. But for him to turn around and play honestly really well, you know, they managed to go 5-7 and had what, another 2 losses that were by 1 possession. So they're like a touchdown per game away from going 7-5 roughly. And yet now you fire him. It's very weird for me for them to cut bait. Now add that to them unsuccessfully flirting with Mike Houston, and then we'll see how the Will Healy era goes. But I'm not entirely sure the folks in Charlotte are running on the same time schedule that the rest of the logical decision makers are, but I guess we'll see.
Absolutely. So looking ahead to 2019, I know it's way too early, but who are some early favorites for 2019? Maybe a team that should take the next step forward, potentially maybe get to a bowl game, potentially compete for a conference championship.
Right. So I'm going to go ahead and say that based off of this season's performance, you know, who they've got coaching, the talent they got returning, those kind of things. For me, CUSA East right now is probably a 2-team race between Marshall and FIU. Doc and Butch are just doing a great job coaching teams. Marshall has a bunch of young guys coming back. We'll have to kind of wait and see just exactly how reliant that offense really was on Tyree Brady. I don't think it was that much, but I may be wrong. Out west, UAB has got to replace a number of guys again, and we'll kind of see. This will finally be the hard reset from the big bring back of talent. So we'll see just how much downturn there is after that, but only so much I would expect. The other team's kind of a toss up for me. It's same teams, North Texas, La Tech, Southern Miss. UTSA's got a long way to go. I think that the shine may have already worn off of Frank Wilson, and he may just be a good recruiter who accidentally got a head coaching job. UTEP Rice, Western Kentucky, those teams, you can't really count on them because they're just so far away from being even competitive, let alone winning. So I think that you're going to see kind of a repeat performance next season where sort of the bottom of the conference still has a long ways to go just to not be the bottom of the conference. But I will say keep an eye out for Rice. I definitely said coming into this past season that Bloomgren was a good hire and that out of the very, very bottom from the season before, UTEP, Rice, and Charlotte, Rice probably had the best coaching hire and the most level of talent, and that's still going to be true. So I wouldn't be surprised if Rice maybe next season, at least probably the first half of the year, kind of flirts with a bowl game and maybe unravels a little later on when they hit like the meat of their schedule. But they're definitely going to be a team to keep an eye on as long as Bloomgren is there and putting his kind of Stanford style on the field.
Absolutely, Nick. Really good stuff tonight. We appreciate you joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. How can our listeners follow you online?
Hey, they can come to the website, www.forgotten5.com. That's forgotten in the number 5, or on Twitter, @rememberf5.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Nick Lewis, Forgotten 5. Really, really telling stuff. Does some good work over there, the Forgotten 5. Go follow those guys at their website. I think, like he said, he has a pretty good piece coming out on how the G5 can incorporate themselves better into the whole playoff scenario. So anyways, we're going to take our final timeout of the night. When we come back from the break, we'll wrap it up. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of 4 different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Get more fun out of everything you do with a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. For years, Fairway Carts has been this area's choice for EasyGo gas or electric golf carts, multi-passenger carts, rugged utility carts for work, and EasyGos for hunting too. With a full line of accessories and expert service department, Fairway Carts delivers it all. Come by the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden, just north of I-20, or call 800-960-CART.
For a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Final segment of the show. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. Beck, let's go ahead. Thank our sponsors one final time. We couldn't do it without them.
We got Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen of Ruston and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister's Smokehouse Barbecue, and our good friends at O'Neill Gas.
And as always, I'd like to thank our title sponsor, First National Bank. If you missed any portion of the show, you like to catch the podcast, we'll have it up pretty soon following the show. I'll tweet it out, have it on Facebook as well, or you can go to the website. It'll be up there as well. Of course, free to listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio podcast. I'll have it up later on this evening. As always, you can join us, bleedtechblue.com, only $9.95 a month. We are your number one source for Louisiana Tech athletics. recruiting season heating up, like I mentioned in the first segment. Should have some prospects on campus, not only this week, but you know, in the next few weeks as well, as Coach Holtz and his staff look to put together the final pieces in the 2019 recruiting period. And then, Beck, you know, once you get through recruiting season in February, you really start looking ahead to March. Fall or spring football will be back. You know,
we'll be busy again.
Are you going to take the lead role this year?
No.
Practice report each day.
I don't know. I don't know if the subscribers really want me to do that.
That's
be like, oh, they wore blue jerseys in practice today. And
number 42.
Number 42, he had a tackle.
Yeah, number 38 with a run off right tackle. He trips
right.
And falls.
That's right.
And then you'll say something bad about Jamar. Yeah. And then I'll just be like,
man,
all right,
let's
Beck,
be real.
I'll handle it.
We're right where we need to be. Tabe's on the board. You leading it. Me just filling in when you need to sneeze. I mean, we got a good system here. Why would we change it?
That's true.
Let me ask you a question, Ben. Dogs finished the season just with a whooping against Hawaii. I don't
Woo!
Even know their mascot.
The Rainbow Warriors.
The Rainbow Warriors. What do you can you put a cap on the season, Ben? Can you give me a how you feeling?
Listen, I'm so glad you asked this.
We didn't even talk about it. I just felt led to ask you.
And you know, we're gonna recap the season more in the coming weeks while previewing 2019, but you talk about this season and I think the best way I would put it would be about like how Tech fans feel about it. It's just like, meh.
Oh, the average fan maybe, huh?
Meh.
Meh. That's a good.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
just like same old story.
Like there were some high points.
Have some hope. Lose your hope.
You know,
win the bowl game.
Well, yeah, there were some high points. You talked about, you know, you played pretty well on the road against LSU. You had a shot in the fourth quarter. You know, you win on the road at North Texas. You come back home. You lay a dud against UAB.
I mean, after the first two games of the season, I thought we could go undefeated.
Yeah, I bet you did, because everything I used to say about the Southern game, you're like, it's Southern! They're terrible! They couldn't beat a flag football team. And, you know, you lay
what
a...
What did they finish, do you know?
Southern?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You don't keep up with Southern.
I don't keep up with the Jags. Another band had a pretty good year. But you talk about, you know, you lay a dud on the road. Or actually, you win on the road at Florida Atlantic. Now, I know they finished 5-7, but that was a pretty quality win, especially to do that out in Boca Raton. You lay a dud on the road against Mississippi State, a game that you were never really in. You end the regular season with losses to Western Kentucky and Southern Miss, but then you bounce back at the end of the year with a win over Hawaii. So really just one of those years where you couldn't get a whole lot going offensively. The defense was really good, like we mentioned, under Blake Baker, who's now off to Miami. I think the defense ranked 29th in the country in total defense. Jalen Ferguson breaks the all-time sacks record. Meek Robertson, you know, first-team all-conference player at corner. You know, there were some bright spots, but you look ahead to 2019, you have to figure out some things, like we said, on the offensive and defensive line with a lot of pieces moving on due to graduation.
Ben, listen to this.
Let's hear it.
Southern ended up 7-4, 6-1 in conference, and lost to Alcorn State in the SWAC championship.
Hell of a win for the Dawgs.
I mean, I may have to go back and write a poem about how good Southern is.
Beck, no, no, no. Don't start teasing this poem stuff.
Dude,
again.
Dude, listen.
We're done with poems.
I'm not writing one.
No.
I'm just saying, maybe Southern's a little better than I thought.
Come September, if we beat Texas... If you're still co-hosting, if you hadn't quit.
Bro, can we talk about my biggest fail as a Tech fan? Had no idea we were playing Texas.
I know. Believe me. I know. It was quite.
We'll preview that game, right? I mean, that's going to be a big one. Are we going?
You want to, bro.
Let's go. Tabes, you in?
Depends.
Tabes
on,
is in. He said he's going.
Me and Tabes might stick back if the Cubs are in the playoffs.
Tabes got to keep the ship running.
That's true.
Hey,
we'll just catch it on the tube. You know what I'm saying? So, big weekend for Tech Athletics. Duncan Dogs at home against UAB in Middle Tennessee. Lady Texters hit the road at UAB and at Middle Tennessee. I know baseball practice is expected to start up in a week or so. We'll certainly have Lane Burrows on before the final show of the year. I know they start their season on the road at Southeastern. So, a lot going on in Tech Athletics. Beck, NFL playoffs. We're going to predict them. Who you got? Saints, Eagles.
Man, you know, Ben, you know I'm not a Saints fan, per se. I'm an Alvin Kamara fan because He led my team to the ship this year.
Yeah.
And by the ship, I mean the playoffs.
Yeah.
Anything other than last place is the ship. I also love Nick Foles. But, I mean, you know I love it.
What about Boston Scott?
Boston Scott was on the practice squad for the Saints. You probably talked about that when I wasn't here. Gets picked up by the Eagles. Had a pretty questionable kick return in his first game.
Yes, he did.
But you know what? I'll tell you what. Don't go look at Twitter after that game.
No.
The fans were not kind to him.
Philly fans
but I believe,
crushed him.
Yeah, I believe Boston Scott will make an impact. To answer your question, Ben, I do have the Saints over Philadelphia. But, man, I love Nick Foles.
All right. Tape, Saints, Eagles.
Give me the Saints.
Give me the Saints as well. Rams, Cowboys in L.A.
Oh. You know, I want to go contrary here. I want to be a contrarian, but I'm going to go with the Rams.
All right, Tapes, who you got?
Cowboys.
Ah!
I think I got the Cowboys
as
well.
I was going to say Cowboys. And it's chicken out.
It's not because I want the Cowboys to win. I just can't stand the Rams.
Well, they've
sue
just,
me!
They've just been flat.
Oh, I can't stand Todd
I want Dallas barely. Back in New Orleans.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh.
Could you imagine?
Okay, I'll go for Dallas.
All right. Patriots, Chargers. This one's got some intrigue.
You know what? If I'm sick of anybody, it's Tom Brady.
No, you're sick of Philip Rivers.
Oh, I don't like him either, but he won me over this year, believe it or not. I think at the beginning of the season, everybody was ranting about the Chargers roster, and I hadn't heard of half of them, so I was like,
pfft. Yeah, Beck doesn't even know Joey Bosa.
I know who he is. He's
you know intense. Melvin Gordon?
Yes, I know Melvin Gordon, Ben. I play fantasy.
What about Keenan Allen, dog?
Dude, I tried to trade for him. Kevin wouldn't give him to me. I'm going to go with the Chargers just because I'm wishful thinking there. I'm just so sick of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Because
Tom's better than your boy Peyton.
It's been very quiet this year on the ESPN about the Patriots, and it's been
relatively
one of the
nice.
Nicest years
Absolutely.
I've enjoyed. That's why the ratings are up, because people quit talking about how old Tom Brady is.
Tapes, who you got?
New England.
Yeah, me too. I got the Patriots. You can't bet against Brady and Belichick.
I'm betting against him. He's 100
not in,
years
not
old.
Not in Foxborough.
Nope. Can't bet against some Chiefs, Colts. This is probably...
Oh, guys, here's the deal. I was a former Colts fan until Peyton Manning left, and then I realized I was just a Peyton Manning fan. But I really like Andrew Luck. And the Captain Andrew Luck Twitter is my favorite thing on Twitter right now. So I'm picking Colts.
Tapes.
Give me a steady diet of raccoon ankles and
yes,
possum feet.
Yes, yes. In reference
Captain
to
Luck.
The Twitter. Okay.
Well, let me tell you something.
They started 1-5, right?
Yeah.
That's a Cinderella story if I've ever seen one. Nobody knew if Andrew Luck could even rotate his arm, much less throw a touchdown pass, and he is lighting it up.
Well, you know what's not a Cinderella story?
What?
How ugly Andrew Luck is. Give me Patty Mahomes.
I know
and
you love
Tyreek Hill.
Honestly, that's the America's feel good game of the week, because everybody loves Patty Mahomes and everybody loves Andrew Luck and a good comeback story. So either way that game turns out, I'm walking out with a smile on my face.
Patty Mahomes deep to Tyreek Hill. Book it. Chiefs over the Colts. So this weekend, former dogs, Boston Scott will be in action for the Eagles against the Saints. Xavier Woods in action starting at safety against the Rams. Maybe he'll light Brandon Cooks up. I don't like him either. And then Ryan Allen, who knows if he'll get a chance to punt against the Chargers, because they might just
Philip
Rivers.
Yeah, that's
player.
Funny. You mean I think he could be a key player.
No, he really could. He could down him at the two like he used to do for the dogs.
Be
so.
On the two and then down him at the two.
That's right.
He was something special.
Yeah, Ryan Allen was a good one. We'll never see another one like him. Anyways, good show tonight. We'll be back same time, same place next week. For Ben Carlisle, for Beck Haynes, the producer, John Tabor, we'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 977 with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tide, Fairway Carts, O'Neill Gas, and Brister Smokehouse. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 977.
A softer generation, and I think the internet has a lot to do with that, because you get instant reaction. People can take that in the game with them. They're tweeting while they're in game. Everybody can instantly say what's on their mind right now before it's filtered, and that goes in the sporting events now. because I took a couple of granddaughters in. We should have heard some of the things that the band was saying. I mean, it's both ways, if you ask me. We heard N-bombs, I heard F-bombs, everything you hear now.
Right.
And I think that has a lot to do with people feel empowered because of Facebook and the internet, and just, they take that stuff in the games with them. That attitude goes in there right with them.
There's no doubt about the social media. Thanks for the call.
I've talked about people having Twitter muscles.
Yeah.
You know, they want to say everything on Twitter, but nothing to your face. All right, in the NFL, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Fox Sports NFL analyst Bucky Brooks will explain next. But first,
and I'm going to boo Bucky when he comes on.
Let's get to Deb Carson for the latest.
Boo Bucky.
Boo Bucky.